great future. We're talking real money.
Hello there. Welcome to the podcast. It's the Friday edition of Talking Real Money, which means it's the Q&A edition. Hi, everybody. I'm Don McDonald, and we've got some nice questions lined up for you. And you can speak your questions in online. They sound so much better than a phone call. By going to talkingrealmoney.com and clicking on the contact form, and then there's a mic button. You record them through your mic on your computer, which generally sound a lot better. Or your mic on your phone, which still sound better than phone calls, for the most part. So go there. Go to talkingrealmoney.com, click on the button. Or if you want to call us live, you can do it on Saturdays. Every Saturday from 3 to 5 Eastern, we are talking to you, actually in person, at 855-935-8255, which spells talk, 855-935-TALK. So now, let's get started with our first question of the day.
Good morning, Tom and Don. I have a question about how much money is safe to keep in a brokerage account. In other words, I understand that it's insured, SPIC insurance, up to $500,000. But I have, you know, through investment, I've looked up at my E-Trade account, and now I've got $1 million in there, and $660,000 in one IRA account, and $300,000 in another IRA account. And so my question to you is, should I move that to different brokerages to keep it under the $500,000 limit? Or is it reasonable to assume that Morgan Stanley / E-Trade will be solvent and I don't have to worry about losing my money? I should note that very little of it is in cash. It is almost entirely in stocks and bonds. Thank you for any help you can provide. I've really been wondering what to do here. I really don't want to leave E-Trade because they've been a great company to work with, and I've been an investor with them for 20-plus years. Thank you.
This is a great question. It needs to be answered every now and again. All the major brokerage firms, of which I am aware, carry additional insurance over the SIPC, the Securities Investors Protection Corporation insurance, which is $500,000, $250,000 for cash. Now, do you really need more than that? Well, the reality is you probably don't. You're right. You can kind of rely on the size of a company like Morgan Stanley or all the others to protect you in case of something bad happening, because the SIPC insurance is only there to protect you against somebody running off with your stocks. I mean, literally, they would have to somehow get hold of your stocks and move them into their name, which is a close to impossible task. But over and above that, Morgan Stanley, I don't know what Schwab has right now. I haven't looked, but I just checked on E-Trade, and they are covered by an additional $1 billion of coverage through Morgan Stanley. So do I think you're covered with E-Trade? Yeah. Do I think you're covered with every brokerage firm? Yeah. I cannot imagine a theft of securities from a major brokerage firm that would exceed $1 billion. Boy, would put the whole industry out of business. And then, well, the world's not looking too good. Anyway, no, I think you're great. I think you're in great shape. I think all of us are in great shape. I do not sit up at night worrying about my money with Schwab. I don't think you should either. Thank you so much for the question, though. I appreciate it. Again, send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form. And here's our next one.
Why should I not transfer my IRA to Robinhood and receive the 3% match for transfers?
As long as you take advantage of their April-only offer, because remember, it expires. The transfer 3% expires after April. The 1% starts to look a lot less attractive because of the amount of time you have to hold it. You've got to pay to be in their gold program. But if you make the transfer to Robinhood before the end of April 2024, Yeah. If you have a big one, if it's small, no. But if you have a gigantic IRA and you're going to roll it over, you know, $100,000, $200,000, a million, take their money. It's free money. Yeah, you've got to use them for a while, but you can use Robinhood for almost all the transactions you can anywhere else. So there's no big disadvantage there. You just have to keep the account there. And that's what they're counting on you doing a lot more. They're going to try to get you to do things that make them money. It's a sales pitch. But it's bad for them. It got them great media. But it is really financially detrimental to them in the short run. But if it helps them bring in a lot of clients in the long run, it could be good for them. It's expensive. But why should you not? I can't think of a reason why you should not, unless you are just really happy with the people with whom you're dealing and don't mind the whole process of making the transfer. But again, this is only for transfers that happen before the 30th of April. And I don't know when you guys are listening to this. After that, it doesn't make much sense. Not nearly as much sense. Thanks so much for the question. Now let's go back to someone else right here.
Hi, Don and Tom. Thanks for the great show. A few years ago, I attended a presentation by Fisher Investments, and they were talking about this very complex bucket system that they use, where they put money in one bucket and then take it out of another bucket. And at certain times, they put more in one bucket, and at certain times, they take more out of the other bucket. Anyway, the system seemed very complex, and I didn't really understand it, so I didn't wind up signing up with them. But I did hear you guys mention once in passing that you're not a fan of that system. And could you kind of explain what that's all about and why you're opposed to it?
We're just not big fans of the bucket strategy, not Fisher's per se, because it sounds like Fisher's is more complex than the typical bucket strategy, which has been touted by, gosh, thousands of people. And that strategy is the three buckets based on time frame. You've got your shorter term bucket that has your more liquid shorter-term assets in it. You've got your intermediate or medium-term bucket that has higher quality bonds but longer maturities. And then you've got your longer-term bucket, which is where you put your stocks. We don't think that strategy really makes that much sense. We'd rather see you in a properly diversified overall portfolio that fits your risk profile. Because we're not really worried about the horizons, the time horizons. That's not as big a deal as matching your ability to tolerate risk, because the better you can tolerate risk, the better you're likely to do in the riskier assets, as opposed to putting them in and going, well, you're going to take this out this time. Now, of course, we do, because we're doing broad-based planning at our firm. We do things like try to use the right accounts at the right time. For example, we would withdraw from the taxable accounts before the tax advantaged accounts. We would withdraw money from the IRAs, regular IRAs, before the Roth IRAs, those kinds of things. But we're going to build a portfolio that's right for the person, not the time frame. Again, I don't know what Fisher's bucket strategy is because I've never attended one of their presentations. I do know that Fisher tends to be a stock-picking firm. That's his claim to fame. But we also know that from the time when he had a mutual fund, which he wisely decided to stop, his mutual fund performed horribly, which should be an indication, you'd think, of how his stock choices do. But no, we don't know about – I don't know what Fisher's strategy is, but just generally speaking – it kind of makes sense, but it's a little bit too simplistic for a true portfolio plan for income in retirement. Not terrible, just not optimal. Thanks so much for your question. We appreciate it. Again, send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form, or call us on Saturdays between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific at 855-935-TALK. 855-935-8255, where we have an actual conversation for a couple hours. Let's go to the next one.
Hello. My question is, I have a special needs brother, and I am in control of a trust for him. It's about $500,000 in there, and I need to preserve that money to pay for a rent. He's in an apartment of, like, call it $2,000 a month with the rent fee and utilities and whatnot. And he's like 45 now. He's, you know, maybe he'll live another 30 years. I don't know, but I have to plan on it that way. So preserving the capital is super important to me. So my question is investment vehicle, maybe some CD laddering, maybe some money market, because I have the monthly fixed expenses of $2,000 a month. And ideally, I want to preserve this and touch the principal as little as possible, and not at all if possible as well, because selfishly, I inherit anything that's left over should he pass before me, which is probable. So that is my question. What's the best way to handle these funds is what I got.
This one's trickier than it appears, because right now, if you put it in a CD or a money market, you would cover his $2,000, barely, but you would cover it. However, we don't know the future. We don't know if that'll work long term. If his expenses rise or rates fall, either of which could happen, then you're going to start drawing down that $500,000. And this is where something, this is where you might not even want to consider a buckety kind of strategy for this, coincidentally, because I think it makes sense in any scenario like this to put 1 year's worth of expenses in a money market account, high yield savings, something that pays well but has immediate liquidity, so you can pay those bills. And then you replenish that annually from the other funds. But I don't think it's as simple, or I don't think it should be as simple as merely a CD ladder, although a CD ladder is safe. Will it be effective long term? Not if his expenses go up, even if rates stay the same. And if expenses go up and rates go down, whew, trouble. This is where you need to have a strategy that is a little bit more complex, not really hard, but you can't totally protect the assets. Not totally, or they can't replenish. This is why we tell people going into retirement, I don't care how conservative you are, it is foolish to go into retirement with a 100% fixed income portfolio, because you could run scenarios, anybody needing 4 to 5% a year might do well, probably will do well, but we've run scenarios where you can run out of money in a fixed income portfolio pretty darn quickly. So you need to, you're probably going to need to have some equities in the portfolio, a really diverse equity portfolio to use for rebalancing when the markets do well in the future. And they have done quite well. 3 out of 5 years, stocks are up, and the average annual return has been about twice that of bonds. So I think you have to diversify more. And that means you take a risk with a little bit of the money. But if you have 20% in equities, and you imagine the worst 1 year scenario is a 50% loss, then you're talking about losing $50,000 temporarily, probably, unless the world comes to an end, and then none of these investments will matter. They'll all fall apart. So that's what I would suggest. And this is the time when you really might find that having a fee-only 100% fiduciary advisor could be a benefit to you, to help you create a better plan, at least. Because you should have a plan for this, at least. Thanks so much for the questions, all of you. We appreciate them. Remember, You can send in your questions at talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form. And if you send them in right now, they're getting answered really fast because we're not getting them pouring in as fast as they were. You can also call us live on Saturdays from 3 until 5 Eastern Time at 855-935-8255. Thanks so much for being a part of the program, for listening, and really helping us become one of the more popular money programs in the country. We so appreciate you. Tell a friend or two or many, and I'll be back answering questions next Friday. But Tom and I are here almost every day talking real money.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions.
Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy.
Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone.
This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction.
Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services.
Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast. Oh, I think I need a nap.